comes from the book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show every courtesy to everyone. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. I desire that you insist on these things so that those who have come to believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable to everyone.
They are indeed excellent and profitable to everyone. The Apostle Paul was going, I wrote more. And then will you stand for the reading of the gospel this morning? As it is found in Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. By the way, I love that hymn. You know, which is so powerful for All Saints Day, which we passed a week or so ago. It's a reminder that for all the saints, and that we are part of a long line of people who have gone before us. And, you know, but the first church I served had a historic pulpit in it. And it was about 150 years old. And when I stood in that pulpit, I always thought about all the preachers who had stood there before me and all the ones who were going to stand there after me. That's the witness of the church, the great cloud of witnesses that go before us. And, you know, that gives us the sense that what we do in our life as Christians is always done in our life together. Throughout this series, which we're concluding today, One Life, we've been talking about how we can live our one life with purpose, how to live a life that's gifted by the Holy Spirit, a godly life, a God-approved life, how we leave a legacy, how we can finish well. And those things have all been about us individually, but today we want to move into a different realm and talk about how our one life together as a church is to be lived for God and for His glory. There are two great passages in Scripture that describe the basic mission of what the church is to be about. One is, we know, as the Great Commission at the end of Matthew 28, when Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. That's a commission for us to go as the people of God. And the rest of the Gospels and the rest of the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament and all the way up through all those saints that went before us. That's been the primary mission of the church. But then Jesus also gives us this great commandment, which is to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, which is the basic command to Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, the Shema, something that a pious Jew says every single day and binds on their doorposts and puts on their hands and in their hearts, to love God with all that we have. And then the second, to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the primary goal of the Christian life. And John Wesley said that for us as Methodists, that really is what we're growing toward, perfection in love, that we love the Lord our God more and more and begin to love our neighbors as ourselves, that we empty ourselves and we are filled with the love of God and the love toward God and our neighbors. That's part of who we are as a church too, as the body of Christ, is to say that we are a people who are called to love and serve God and serve our neighbor. And as many of you know, this week you received a mailing with our vision for the next 3 years or so. And I'm going to invite Ted Bauman, who's our church council chair, to share that with you this morning and to give you an idea of what that's all about and how we as the body of Christ can live our one life together.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. Bob's sermon to the children this morning reminded me of this church that had just consecrated a memorial, a huge memorial on their wall to honor those that had died in the service of their country. And one Sunday morning, a little boy and his dad came to the second service of that Sunday morning service. And the little boy and dad come in to the foyer where this memorial is, and the little boy sees it, and he looks up at it, and they're right near greeting the pastor, and he looks up at the pastor, and he says, "Well, what is that?" You know how little boys are. And the pastor leans down and he says, "Well, son, that's a memorial to all those people who have died in the service." And the little eyes, that kid got really big. And he says, "Well, did they die in the first or the second service?" Well, it's my pleasure to be here this morning to share with you something that we've been doing the last 4 months here in the church. We had a vision team that was tasked with trying to put a vision together that we could accomplish as Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church in the next 1 to 3 years. So I'm going to try to, in 10 minutes, do what the little brochure you had mailed to you did in 8 pages. But first I want to introduce those people who are on the vision team who might be here this morning in this service. I know Jim Ambule is here. Would you stand, Jim, please? And Dave Betzler is here. Would you stand, Dave? Who else from the vision team is here? They were in the other services, so they may not be here. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you being here. And then we also have some members of our church council who are here as well. Leslie Mundy. Leslie, would you stand, please? And John Rickman back here is our secretary. Dana Franzen is our finance chair. John Dick is our stewardship chair. And did I miss anybody? And those people have been in the other services too. Thanks for being here. So when we first looked at what this vision is all about and I was asked to be on it, I thought, in my career, I've been on a lot of these things. And most of them weren't fun. And I thought, oh no, here we go again. I don't know if I want to be part of this or not. But I have to tell you, this task force was really a great task force. There were 10, 11 of us. We got to know each other really well. We were young. We were old. We were female. We were male. We were long-term members, short-term members. So it was a great cross-section of our congregation. And we spent a lot of hours trying to determine the focus and where we would go in the next 1 to 3 years for Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church. So I want to share that with you a little bit this morning. We used a visual that we call the vision frame, and you'll see it up on the screen. And you'll see on the right side where it talks about mission, and in the cross, you'll see where it talks about values. At the bottom, it talks about strategy. And at the top, it talks about measures. And in the middle is the vision proper. And I want to explain each section of what that is and what we did to get to where we were in terms of our recommendations to you that you'll see in a minute. We looked at mission first. And mission answers the question, well, what are we about? What are we doing? Why does Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church exist? And many of you have been through mission statements and those kinds of things. And this church has had a couple, I think, in its history. And as we thought and sifted through the different information that we had about our church, we came up with this as our vision statement: to build followers of Jesus Christ who love and serve God and neighbor. We wanted it simple. We wanted it active. We wanted it to be compelling, and we wanted it short. 13 words to build followers of Jesus Christ who love and serve God and neighbor. Because we want you to kind of memorize that. We think that's what we're about, Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church. So once we asked the question, well, what are we doing? The next question was over to the other side on values. Why are we doing this? What do we value at Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church? And because this committee was such a good mix, we probably had 50 to 75 things that we value in this church. All kinds of things. Paper was filled. And then we attempted to narrow down it to four things. Broad categories, but four things that we really value here at Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church. The first thing is scriptural teaching and preaching. Pastors Bob and Joe do a marvelous job of getting us into the scripture, don't they? And their blogs and some of the things that happen afterwards, where we're able, their devotions. But scriptural teaching, I had one lady in the first service who said, her name's Marcia, she came and said, Ted, the reason my husband and I are here is because there's scripture from the pulpit. It's not just a feel-good message. It's scripturally based and really digs deep. And that's kind of what we're all about, or should be. The second thing that we thought was one of our big values was intentional disciple-making. Some of us, myself included, didn't know what does disciple-making mean. And I think what we've done here in the last couple of years is we've got programs together that teach us how to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We do that in a multitude of ways. But it's really putting to work that mission statement of building followers of Jesus Christ who love and serve God and neighbor. That's what being a disciple is. So we value that here. Another thing we value is the gracious hospitality. How many of you are here this morning because of the gracious hospitality that we find here at Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church? I know my wife and I, that's the main reason we're here. It was because of the way people greeted us, the way we were treated, the way opportunities we have to treat others, the food, of course, and especially on those chocolate days. I do like the chocolate sundaes. You may not have heard of those. We're trying to keep that secret so that I can get all the chocolate that I need. But the gracious hospitality. There's something about Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church that we never found in any other church. I'm assuming many of you found the same thing here. It's important to us. It's kind of in our DNA, is it not, as Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church? And then the final value that we talked about was neighborhood service, serving our neighbors. Many of you are involved in some sort in that way now, but we think we can do more in that respect. Tri-Lakes Cares, there's the health advocacy program. There are other avenues. We have the senior meals. We have the Crawford House. All those kinds of things where we're able to serve our neighbors. But we, as a vision team, came up with some specific ways that we want to try to do that. So that was kind of how we started this process. And then we talked about the lower part of that frame, which is strategy. That's, well, how do we do this? How are we making all this happen? And again, there are four ways. We came up with this logo that you see on the overhead, the circle with the four compelling words. And we say, well, we do this four different ways. We do it through worship. We do it through devotion. We do it through service. And we do it through compassion. Well, then the next question was, well, how do we measure these four means of our strategy? Because you do want to try to measure what your successes are. And so we were thinking about this, how we might take a look at that. So by worship, we'll go to explain kind of what we mean by worship. Worship is regular, joyful participation in Sunday services, where we can come and sing. Choir, that was terrific to hear you guys singing and the trumpets playing. Where we can take the sacraments, where we can worship one another and say, we think that's a valuable part of us. And when we have Congregations like this that are full in the last three services, there was great attendance. That means a lot, and that's one of the ways that we can measure our success. Another way is devotion. And devotion is more a personal thing, and it's what you do on a daily basis with your personal devotions, Bible reading. You might be part of a small group or a Bible study that has devotions. And so we see devotion as being really an internal kinds of things where we're devoted to each other, to ourselves. That way then, when we become that way, then we can be joyful. We can go out and serve others in that capacity. Service is pretty self-explanatory, I think. It's where we use our time and our talents and our gifts to give to others. And we know that that's when we see the amount of involvement in our church congregation outside the church and within the church, we know that that's a measure of success. And finally, we look at compassion. And we probably all have our different interpretations of compassion, but it's doing all that we can for the least and the lost and those who really don't have. So when we looked at all these parts of the visual frame, we then decided in that little middle section where it talks about vision proper, we said that's our recommendations. Putting this all together, what do we want to have happen? We came up with two big recommendations. One deals with missional groups, and one deals with external kinds of things. And I'll talk to you about that. So our first vision for the missional groups has three parts to it. Missional communities are sort of an extension of the small groups that are going on now. There are some small groups and Bible studies and those kinds of things. But we see missional communities taking it a step further. It's small groups of people coming together to support each other, to pray for each other, to find out how lives are going with each other, and then being able to put that together and then taking things outside the church to an external measure. And I see small groups as being choirs could be a small group. The brass group could be a small group. The bell choir that you're going to hear in a little bit could be a small group. Your current Bible study, a Sunday school class. There are all kinds of ways to put together a small group that can really pay attention to one another in a personal way. There's so many opportunities out there. We don't know what they all are. So that's why the second part of that recommendation is to hire an additional staff person whose title would be Director of Disciple Making, Disciple Development. Coordinating this is really important to us because we don't need duplication of services and all those kinds of things. We want someone who can take those people who have gone through the blueprints for a discipleship class and organize them in such a way that they can begin to serve others. The blueprint for discipleship class, we feel, is important. That's another class that I wasn't all that excited about taking, quite honestly. When I was growing up, I was Evangelical United Brethren in the Evangelical United Brethren Church, EUB Church, the Evans we call ourselves. Well, you know, we didn't like the Methodists. Because those Methodists, those kids could go to dances and they could, you know, do all that other stuff. We couldn't do that. And those two churches combined in 1968 to become the United Methodist Church. We thought, all right, now we can get to do some of that stuff. But you know what? I didn't know much about Methodism, but I did know there was a big debate in the Lord's Prayer about whether we should say, forgive us our debts or forgive us our trespasses. That was the big deal. It wasn't about what's Methodism all about. What are we supposed to do as Methodists? It was some of those other silly little things. And the Blueprints class really helped myself and Jer, my wife, understand what Methodism is all about and what we're called to be as Methodists. And that's to build followers of Jesus Christ who love and serve God and neighbor. And so I hope those of you who haven't had an opportunity to take it, whether you're new to the church or you've been here 20 years or more, when you get a chance to take that church, it will increase your depth in terms of what it means to be a Methodist. But we think we need someone to help with the coordination of all that. And that's what this position would be. Third part of that, well, I should say that we want this to happen by 2015. I had someone in the first service tell me, well, why are we waiting that long? Well, because it takes money. So the third part of that recommendation is we form a task force in the interim to start managing and organizing that kind of stuff in our church with our small groups and the blueprint and all those other things that are taking place in the church. The second big recommendation from the vision team is to look for ways that Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church can get off the hill. We're pretty isolated out here. There are a lot of people in the Tri-Lakes area that aren't going to drive here to come to this church to get what they need. If you follow GPS, you can't get here anyway. So we think it's important for us to look at going out and serving the community. So we're looking for perhaps a satellite location that isn't called Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church, but maybe is called something else, but where we can serve the community. So our goal is by 2017 to find a place somewhere in Monument or Palmer Lake or in between that we can open a satellite center where we can provide some of the services that are not available through HAP or through Tri-Lakes Cares or through some other agency. We think that's important to get off the hill so people know what we're about and that we can begin serving those people who aren't going to come to the hill to worship. Now, the vision team knows this is a stretch. We know this isn't something that's going to be easy to do. But we feel like we've set the bar higher. We feel like Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church needs to have high expectations for what we're about. We're creating a legacy. We want to create a legacy. And in 20 or 30 years, a lot of us, myself included, probably aren't going to be here. But you know, well, those young kids that were here earlier, they're going to be here. And hopefully Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church will be here as well because of the legacy that we've established for this church. So when it comes to expectations, you may not know this and Jesus may not have preached this, but there is another beatitude. And it goes like this. Blessed are those who have no expectations, for they won't be disappointed. You know what? Why bother if we don't have any expectations? We don't have any goals and they're not set high. Why bother? But we go back to our mission to build followers of Jesus Christ who love and serve God and neighbor. So today, this weekend, you got some things in the mail Pastor Bob talked about. You got investment cards. If you've pledged in this church in the past, we hope that you do it again and increase your pledge. If you've tithed regularly and didn't pledge, we would hope that you would pledge because the finance committee would like to know, are we going to have enough money to meet these goals? And if you've been an intermittent giver, we'd like to have you consider being a regular tither or pledger. And I know Jared, prior to us joining Tri-Lakes Methodist Church, we did not tithe regularly nor pledge. We sort of, we got a couple bucks in the wallet, we'll throw it in the plate. And it wasn't until we came here that we now have become regular tithers. And I don't know why that is, or regular pledgers, but it's because of what we think Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church is all about. So thank you for your attention. I'm going to ask John Dick to come up and talk a little bit more about the investment cards you received in the mail. And we do appreciate your attention and the time to give us today.
What shall we do with our one wild and precious life? We trust that the series that we're concluding today began way back the first week in October has been as insightful for you as it has been for us as we consider how we invest our lives in the work of Jesus Christ through United Methodist Church here in Tri-Lakes. The goal of the stewardship committee is simply to assist every member to connect with the pledge that we all made when we joined the church, that we will faithfully participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. As we conclude the series, we consider now the investment of our gifts to accomplish God's work through Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church in 2014. You most likely received the mailing yesterday or on Friday, along with an investment card. I want to ask you to fill in that card and leave it in a box that'll be behind each of the doors on our way out of the sanctuary this morning. And of course, it would be ideal if you took some time at home to quietly pray about your investment. But in lieu of that, if you'd like to leave that card with us today, in a moment I'll ask us to join together in a couple of minutes of silent prayer to consider that investment. And if you've already filled out your card and brought it with you, thank you. Would you join me in praying for the mission of our church and the work of the church in the years to come? Now, some may be wondering why we ask you to indicate on an investment card and sign it. We know that many contribute weekly and monthly toward the work of the church. So why a card? TLUMC works diligently to make the most of all the gifts it receives. As with any successful business or organization, there's a great deal of planning that takes place each year. That requires, as accurate as possible, estimates of income. The vision you've just heard about requires significant planning, and we'll be hearing much more about that in coming months. What we know is that the visionary goals will require making long-term commitments. So it's very important for any organization to anticipate income as accurately as possible to permit good and faithful planning. Our finance committee chairman said if every giving unit in the church, each person or each family unit, increased their investment $10 per week, we could easily meet the funding requirements to meet our vision. Now, I understand that's not an insignificant amount of money, but it's illustrative of what we could achieve. Before we go to prayer, let me mention three important things. First, the amount that you indicate on the card is an estimate of your giving for the year. It's not a contract. We know that many things change during the course of a year. Second, when you drop the card in the boxes at the doors, it is completely confidential. The box will be opened only by Ramona Johnson, the church's financial secretary, who also provides you with your confidential statement of giving at year's end. So, only God and Ramona, your tax preparer, and the IRS knows the amount that you invest at TLUMC. And I think of that group, I trust God and Ramona explicitly. Lastly, I just want to mention we'll be receiving the investment cards again in service next week. So if you don't leave one today, please bring it with you next week. For any who have not been with us in service and miss giving a card, we'll mail a note following next week's service with an investment card, a self-addressed, a stamped envelope to return the card. So I ask that you please help us to avoid that effort and let us know about the finances we have to do our planning, and please leave a card with us. Let's join together now in a couple of moments of prayer as we consider the work of the church. Let us pray.
That we cannot accomplish strictly on our own. You've called us to move beyond, comfort and security and to stretch out, to look around us and realize that your kingdom is breaking in around us. For the 80% of people in our Tri-Lakes region who don't have a church home, and many of whom who don't know you at all, Lord, you've given us a mission toward them. Help us to meet your expectations, to do your work, to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to indeed love our neighbor as ourselves. To love them when they are in need. To love them when they are in need of the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Send us, Lord, and strengthen us for this work. In the name of Christ, amen.